It's KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. Americans are arguing over who is intolerant. Liberals have called conservatives intolerant for a long time. Lately, some high-profile right-wingers are claiming, no, it's the liberal social justice warriors. They're the ones who won't tolerate dissent. Into that debate steps my next guest. University of Washington student Francis Lee moves in Seattle's leftist activist community. Francis is a queer, trans, Chinese American who says members of the left do sometimes intimidate their own with fear, the fear of seeming impure. Francis wrote an essay for a website run by queer feminists, and the essay is called Excommunicate Me from the Church of Social Justice. Francis Lee, welcome to KUOW.
Thank you so much, Bill.
You wrote that there's an underlying current of fear in the Seattle activist community. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so what I mean is kind of the social anxiety and this fear when going into spaces where people identify themselves as radical or as activists or, you know, working for a certain cause like, you know, Black Lives Matter or for, you know, ending transphobia. And there's just such a rich culture of language and norms and behaviors in those spaces that, you know, if you're not familiar with those things going in, it can feel really daunting and exclusionary and alienating and, you know, like might turn you off from collaborating with people with whom you actually share a lot of values.
So Francis, how have you personally felt shut down or excluded or alienated?
I think a lot of the way I experience that is through the use of language and the use of just like dominant beliefs in activist spaces. So, you know, like if you say, oh, you're being oppressive, that's kind of like this red flag of we don't like this person or what they're doing, and like we need to move away from them, right? With the language of social justice, it's this us versus them mentality. And in a lot of ways, it is, right? There are people who are very privileged and people who are not as privileged, and there's a whole spectrum, and we need to like talk about those distinctions. But at the same time, I think that we also have a lot in common in like recognizing that, you know, that we have the capability to do good and that we love other humans and that we care about people other than ourselves, right? I think focusing on those things is what is going to be integral for having like a sustainable activist practice wherever it leads you.
You even compared your experience with Seattle activists to your experience with evangelical Christianity. What did you mean by that?
You know, this is all kind of based on my own personal life experience of growing up in an evangelical Christian household where my dad was a pastor. He actually still is a pastor. Just growing up with those set of rules about who I am in the world, what am I supposed to be doing there, and having that be just all I knew. You know, part of that was my experience in the church was that it was a very legalistic way of being in the world, right? There were these commandments I had to follow and, you know, sub-commandments that were attached to that. And there were these leaders who I had to, you know, confess my wrongdoings to or ask forgiveness for or just kind of seek help from. Like they were just like on a higher moral ground, so to speak. And so growing up, I just thought the whole point of life was to be good. And I know that a lot of parents kind of instill that in a more playful manner, but I took it very, very seriously, you know, because it had to be.
You're either good or you're bad.
Exactly. And it, you know, was tied to like your eternal destination, right? Which is the most intense thing ever to say to a kid, I think. And I kind of moved away from that when I went to college in Texas and kind of have been a little distant and just don't identify as Christian anymore. But what was really telling to me was, you know, I was like, all right, I'm going to kind of start a new life and blaze a new path and choose my political values and get involved in activism and go hang out with activists and queer and trans people of color and all that good stuff. And definitely those spaces are my homes, you know, like my best friends I've met through doing activism and through like sharing our experiences of being transgender or being queer. And it's pretty much my whole social community. At the same time, because I'm so deeply entrenched in those groups, I get to see kind of like the dark underbelly, if you will, of people behaving badly or people taking good ideas and using them in a way that hurts other people, right? And so the connections I was seeing was that it seemed to me that there was like this set of rules to follow of like how to be a good activist and how to be a pure activist. And that really rang some bells for me, because this whole idea of purity and goodness and maybe we'll say perfection is very dogmatic, right? And it's totally what Christianity and other religions like that preach and, you know, try to use to control people's behavior.
So, Francis, when you talk about a dogmatism or intolerance among progressive activists, it reminds me of you're talking about it. So far, we're talking about privately inside the community, you know, in online forums. But it reminds me of what right wingers say about social justice warriors being publicly intolerant and intolerant on campus, for example. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that they're like the right wing, conservative, alt-right, Nazi, whatever, their critiques of at least what they perceive as social justice activists and lefty people aren't totally off base, you know? Like some of the most vocal people you see kind of parading around with these social justice causes are very aggressive, you know, not necessarily willing to sit down and have a conversation, and definitely online just like shut people down left and right who don't agree with them exactly. Now, I'm not saying that I disagree with them and their tactics. And again, I'll say that there's specific tactics that are useful for specific situations, right? You can't just say a blanket statement, never be aggressive, never stand up for yourself, never say anything, right? And so, you know, I think for a while I was like, oh, well, of course the right would say that. They're just trying to, you know, bring us down or whatever. But, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I realized that it really is important to kind of have a sense of how the rest of the world is understanding what we're trying to do.
I wonder if there's another way to look at this, Francis, from inside your activist community. I could imagine someone saying, look, you sound like you just don't like conflict, Francis. I'm giving my opinion. I'm being clear that request for a biologically female roommate is not okay. And you should be able to take that in and not look at it like I'm drumming you out of the club. What do you think?
Yeah. So, I mean, I will say conflict is hard for me. You know, I just, as someone who previously just kind of flew under the radar and just kind of did what I was told to do, right? The way that I was trained, you know, growing up evangelical Christian. But the older I get, you know, and the more situations I find myself in where there is this kind of conflict or kind of observing it on the side happen, is that so much bad is said about conflict. And conflict can also be very painful to experience, right? You know, you're being challenged and you have to defend yourself, or you feel like you have to defend yourself. But I really see those sites of conflict, especially one community, as like opportunities and areas for like going deeper and having like a very rich conversation about, okay, so now I've identified some clashing values, and let's just talk about it, you know, and let's be together in person and talk it through. Because I think it's so hard to work those things online, because everyone is behind a screen and it's kind of responding in a way that where they're just like performing wokeness, I guess. That's kind of a phrase some people use. And
performing wokeness meaning I need to show everybody how aware I am. Mm-hmm. It's almost a status thing, right?
Yeah, and I think it comes
or a defensiveness. Out of, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it comes out of insecurity rather than maybe feeling really good about yourself and where you are. Because these things happen, right? People will challenge each other and say, you're XYZ, and then, you know, that hurts someone's reputation online. And then it's just hard to recover when someone, like, tries to destroy your reputation, right? So I am really trying to work through a relationship with conflict that is more open and embracing of conflict, in a community setting, not just like straight up in the political, just in public, and to think about talking through these things, talking through ideas, talking through experiences, and creating, I guess, a little bit of distance between certain ideas and like my own identity.
So Frances, I hear you saying you want to embrace conflict. You want what's great about conflict. So when you write this essay, and at least the headline writer calls it "Excommunicate Me from the Church of Social Justice," you're not turning your back on your progressive activist friends, but you want what? What do you want them to do differently?
Yeah, so that title was kind of a tongue-in-cheek title. I wanted to name the article that because I was just really fed up with all the things that I had talked about in my article, just the exclusionary tactics of activist communities. And as someone who feels very strongly about those values and who feels like there's a home there, I wanted to kind of dare people to kick me out for saying something about it publicly, right? For making a critique and saying, I'm in here, but I also am like really unhappy about these things, and I think that they're probably not great.
And has that happened? Do you find yourself being kicked out?
That hasn't happened. I'll say that hasn't happened yet. But what has been really remarkable is that people have been privately reaching out to me, talk about the article, to say things like, oh, you know, I felt this way for such a long time, but I thought it was just me, or I didn't know how to talk about it because I thought people would kick me out, you know, just like what the title is saying, just countless stories like that. Which, you know, number one, is very heartening that I'm not the only one either, and that we've all identified that this is an issue. But number two, also kind of disappointing that it's such a widespread issue, as I've gotten, you know, listeners who have emailed me and contacted me from as far away as like Australia and Scotland, who are like, this is a huge problem. Thank you for writing this.
So what's going to change?
So a lot of times, I think when people start to do activism or say, I care about these issues, I care about saving the earth, I care about XYZ, that there's kind of this assumption that because you care about like a good value, you're just going to, everything you do for it will be good, right? And clearly, like, that's not the case. And I think that's what my essay is trying to get at, is we're like, okay, like, we all have our hearts in the right place, but maybe like some of the things we do to get to those goals might be a little suspect, you know? And I think it's important to separate like our methods from our values, right? And so an ethics of activism, you know, might look like cultivating just a curiosity about new ideas, right? So, and just understanding that ideas evolve and change as the world changes. So, you know, getting attached to any particular one idea is probably kind of dangerous and, you know, is not really how, I guess, like personal growth works.
If you're just tuning in, you might think Frances Lee and I are talking about a spirit of generosity and understanding even toward conservatives and Trump voters. And actually, we're talking about that, I think, and also generosity toward people who might think a lot like us. I think in Seattle, sometimes the conversation is about who's activist enough.
Absolutely.
Who's progressive enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those questions are very derailing to, well, what's the point of having a progressive politics if you're so invested in your own identity formation?
Frances Lee wrote the essay, Excommunicate Me from the Church of Social Justice. Thanks for coming in and telling us about it, Frances.
Thanks so much, Bill.